tasty proposition.
My jam.
Considering
the free games that they're offering. I mean, a lot of the games that they have been offering on Gold are just, it's like, I mean, you know, maybe it'll get better over time, and it has to. But,
thanks for Halo 3.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this month it's like Absolution and something else, which is like, oh, you know, it's okay, but now they got Phil Spencer leading everything, hopefully, because that dude's always been about video games.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Stop with
sure.
all the stupid stuff.
Freaking right now on PlayStation Plus, it's BioShock Infinite, Tomb Raider. I think Borderlands 2 is still up there.
See, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just like, hey, remember all these awesome games from like a year or so ago?
Here they are. Free. Have fun.
Yep. Yeah. It's a shame about Irrational Games, though. That's it's unfortunate, the business, but you know, there's just times when I look at a studio like Irrational and that made a game like BioShock that I was super impressed with, and then they're like, they're not gonna be there anymore, and it's just sad that like that kind of creativity that was super exemplary in those games is kind of gone. You know, BioShock should be on the should be as popular as Halo or Call of Duty, but it's not, and it's one of those things of like where I just want to make it law for everyone to buy a BioShock game because it's awesome, and I say so there.
I just think it's not as popular just because it doesn't have multiplayer.
Are
I mean,
serious?
You don't keep going back. Well, I mean, just because you don't keep going back to it.
Well,
Titanfall I play every night, but like once when I was done with BioShock, I was like, all right, that was excellent.
Yeah, that was an excellent one-time experience.
Well, yeah, but I'm not going to go back to it, you know what I mean?
BioShock 2 had multiplayer. That did not bring anybody back in.
Well, no, I'm not saying it has to happen. I'm just saying that's why I think that's why, like, it doesn't sustain that popularity.
Yeah, that's, well, I mean, that's definitely a very, very much a driving force. And, you know, for better or for worse, everything seems to have a multiplayer nowadays.
Yeah,
and sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't.
I feel part of the reason is probably because BioShock is a thinking man shooter. Like, you actually have to use some sort of strategy. You can't just run and gun.
Yeah.
You know, you'll get destroyed. So you have to take some time and kind of use your powers. And maybe that's the other thing. People are like, powers? That's stupid. Give me an AK.
did you play through that on normal?
Yeah.
Either you?
Yeah. I tried playing through, what was it, 1999 mode?
That's brutal.
Yeah, I got, just before you get to Elizabeth, I was like, all right, I have other things I need to be doing. this is way too hard. And then I went and played Dark Souls instead.
I'm afraid to get into Dark Souls.
Bro,
it just seems like a game that I will not have fun with, yet it's something I utterly crave.
Yeah.
Telling you, I think he only thinks he's 2 hours ahead of us. Level Saves Now Playing Podcast. This game is broken. I am Barry Villatoro, and joining me today is Chris Locke.
Be right back.
Matt Curione.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
And Kenny Ryu.
What's up, guys?
And just like every week, we're here to talk about some video games. We'll just wait for Chris to come back, though.
I was kidding.
I know.
Okay.
Great catchphrase, guys.
Yeah. Shut up, Moneybag.
Damn it. Get to it.
Okay. Well, you start, Chris.
Okay.
Tell us what you've been playing.
All right.
Nope. Don't want to hear about Candy Crush.
Okay. Well, then we won't talk about No, let's talk about Candy Crush. I'm done with Candy Crush. I was so ecstatic about Candy Crush like last time, and I was like, yeah, I don't understand why people hate Candy Crush. I understand why people hate Candy Crush now.
They made me pay $1.
No, it's just after a while, it's just like, okay, this is garbage. This is...
Wow. You went from, I really like Candy Crush, guys, to this is garbage.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's basically because of that that wall that it ran me into where I had to either ask my friends or pay $1 or play stupid hard levels to get to the next levels.
So this game is trash because it asked you for a dollar.
Yeah, because it asked me for a dollar. No, it's not trash. The first 30 levels, a lot of fun. After that, it's just kind of like, I don't want to play. This is no longer any fun. There's nothing about this that is enjoyable. I'm just kind of moving candy around.
Yeah, I actually haven't played it in quite a bit.
What level did you get to, Matt?
65.
Woo!
Yeah, how about that? No, I'm stuck on Disco Zoo now. That's what takes up all of my time.
Maybe I need to get into this Disco Zoo. I don't know.
Oh my god, you need Disco Zoo.
Like, I tried playing Tiny Tower for quite some time, and then just after...
I don't like that.
But it's by the same people, though, right?
Yeah, but if you want a good, like, tower thing like that, go for Tiny Death Star. It's a lot more fun.
We've gone over this Star Wars. My iPod won't
Yes, play. We have. Oh, well...
So...
Hello, 2009. How are you?
Shut up, Moneybags, Gurion. We can't all afford brand new things.
Harumph.
My bad. If I can make it up, I'll kiss your ring to make it up to you. So I'm downloading Disco Zoo now. And
you should, because it's great.
I don't know. Like, with Tiny Tower, I just got to the point where it just felt like I was wasting time. Like, You're like, oh, you know, I could be... either playing a better game or even just sitting staring at a wall seems like more productive than this.
I'm kind of sure all games are a form of...
I don't know. A lot of games you get some sort of enjoyment out of.
Well, yeah, but you're not...
Yeah, a lot of things... Tiny Tower takes a while for stuff to happen. And I find that in Tiny Death Star, everything's a lot quicker. Like, you get items a lot quicker.
Yeah, but you're still just managing a building.
Can you blow up planets in Tiny Tower?
Not Tiny Tower.
Tiny Tower, you can just drop a nuke.
But you can build, like, the weapons and stuff, and then rebels will infiltrate the Death Star, and you have to catch them with your stormtroopers. So it's always fun to see Chewbacca get tied up and dragged off the screen by a stormtrooper.
Okay, that actually does sound pretty baller.
And it's adorable.
Maybe I need to invest in a new iPod. For free.
Yes.
spend $300 for a game that doesn't cost anything.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's Candy Crush.
Yeah, I'm over Candy Crush. I'm going to delete it now. Thanks. Thanks, Candy Crush, for like the 12 hours of fun.
Peace, King.
Jeez, you really played there for that long? No,
probably like $5,000 total. Which is, you know, for a free game, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Now,
that's crazy.
Now I'm done. Yeah, I played that, and then I played other games, but does someone else want to talk about other games first?
Yeah, we'll get one of the ones I keep playing over and over again. And I'm sorry, listeners, this will be the last time you have to hear the Loop Trousers music in the background.
What are you talking about? That Loop Trousers music is awesome.
It is. It's really good. Especially, I mean, there's some loadouts that give it, like, a really different change, because, you know, the loadouts...
That full soundtrack is available now. You can get it for, like, $6.
Where? But
each version?
Each version.
Wow.
Uh-huh. I'll link it in the show notes.
Yay!
So I finally beat my high score. I used this loadout that's called like the Orbital Rouser, so basically it's like the laser, a hover engine. So the hover engine is dope because like it basically allows you to hover any direction you go, and you continue to go in that direction forever.
Oh, nice.
So you don't fall to the ground anymore. Because that's one of the things that makes the game a little harder. Is every time you stall, you're actually falling out of the sky. So I got that, and then the bomb body.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're shooting, it's just automatically just dropping bombs. So you'll be killing like ships and stuff where you're not even trying to aim at them. Oh, in that game, it's like, you're like, oh, I'm only at 6,000 points. And you hit like your max multiplier, and all of a sudden you're just like, you're crushing it with points. And that's the whole thing, it's like to keep up for that long. And then I beat my old score by like almost 10,000 points. Yeah, I was pretty stoked on that. But the best thing I did in this game was, so there's this loadout called the Houseboat. And it's a bomb body and a hover engine, but you use the spread gun. And the spread gun uses the same projectiles as the gungeon, the engine that basically fires, and that's how you move around.
Okay.
Like And so with the hover engine and the spread gun, you don't actually have to use your engine at all. If you just continue to fire, you'll use that as propulsion. And since it's so many more bullets at one time than the gungeon, you move a lot faster and you can actually maneuver. And so I just, like, totally broke the game when I did that. All I did was like I had the trouser going like into one or the rouser going to one in one area or like to one side of the screen, and then I just held on the fire button, and it's dropping bombs, killing ships below me, and it was just all you see is points just building up on the side of the screen. Nothing was coming into the screen.
Killing everything.
And I just held it there. I was like, yes, just killing everything, and I don't even have to move.
I still got to go back to that game. Like I said, those controls just... I can't hover. I can't, like... I can't do things. I'm bad at it.
I don't understand.
I am bad at video games.
I'm so bad at that game.
Well, at first, when you first start playing, yeah, you fall out of the sky. And you're like, I don't understand how to control this thing, but...
So, I'm terrible. Barry, have you unlocked the final loop browser?
What do you mean?
I think there's
still a couple of things that are locked, but I'm not sure, because I got a trophy for unlocking everything, but I'm pretty sure I still see like a lock sign for each, like the weapon, body, and engine.
Well, at the, so. the final one, and I've just done this on videos, is seen it on videos, three skulls for your top, your like your engine, your body, and your gun.
Okay.
It's called the Ooh-Rouser. And,
is that an umlaut?
Was that
is there an umlaut involved?
No, I think it's just a letter U.
I saw a picture of someone where it looked like they were shooting missiles and the missiles had lasers. I was like, I need that weapon.
That sounds like heaven.
It was insane. Like there's a bunch of missiles coming out of this little plane, and then these missiles had lasers coming out of them.
That sounds like the best.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to tell me that's what it was.
No, the Ooh-Rouser is even better than that. So,
okay.
I guess I'll spoilers for the final thing in Ooh-Rouser.
I don't even know how you unlock that.
I don't know either. but that ship that you kind of like launch out of at the beginning of the game, it just comes out of the water and it's a gigantic monstrosity, and it has like all the weapons all at once or something like that.
What?
So yeah, the ship comes out of the ocean and is a giant like square that just destroys everything around it.
Nice.
Yeah,
that fits that.
Sounds delightful.
It actually looks pretty awesome. Really dumb. I think it's super slow, but everything dies. If anything hits it, it dies. If it hits anything, if it's like throwing off nukes left and right, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's one of the things I did like though, was the nuke body.
Mm-hmm.
So like you're really really weak, but once you die, like you explode into a giant skull, and you just annihilate everything that's on the screen. It's so rad.
That is the end of your combo though, right?
Yeah, exactly. But that's the only way I've taken out a blimp. It's like fighting and the blimp comes on. I'm like kamikaze.
Wait, there's blimps in that game?
Dude, the blimp takes up like you can fly for like maybe 4 or 5 seconds, like horizontally, and you still won't pass up the blimp. Jeez. Like it is enormous.
But I can get a blimp in that game, or I can fight a blimp.
No, you fight a blimp, and it's
can you be a blimp?
It's crazy. Can you what?
Can you be a blimp?
No.
Oh. You can. I love blimps.
Yeah, I'm kind of done with this game now, Barry.
Well, you could be the Bowser.
They are my favorite airborne vehicle.
Why are they your favorite airborne vehicle?
Because they're so majestic and cool looking. Like, I freak out when I see a blimp.
Oh, man. Majestic?
Majestic, yeah.
I'll agree with Matt on this one. I think blimps are pretty sweet. I'd love to go in one.
Yeah, me too.
And I would also like to grab a parachute and jump out of one.
Yeah.
And freefall towards the Earth at 200 miles an hour.
Yeah, that would be fun, too. But I love blimps. I love them. I love them so much.
Yeah,
What's your favorite?
Oh, God, they're...
The Hindenburg.
Yeah, actually, that whole thing happened about 5 minutes from my house.
Is that really?
Yeah, you can go to the airfield, and they actually have a little plaque, like, commemorating it and stuff. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that would have been such a surreal sight back then.
Yeah, but I just love blimps. Love them. I love them so much.
Well, go fight one. And Luke,
I don't want to.
He wants to cuddle it.
They're so majestic. Why would I hurt them?
Put on that nuke body and go take it out.
Matt, I think I know
what you do.
I'm going to get you for your birthday.
You eat a blimp, and then you steal his powers.
A plush blimp.
Oh, please do.
So you can snuggle it.
With With like googly eyes on it?
Sure. Yeah. Hey, Matt, when is your birthday?
October.
All right. Send me your address later. We'll figure
it out. Yeah, we'll work on that.
I'm gonna get you a blimp with some googly eyes. You like want a blimp? Cute, cute anime eyes or something? Big gas.
That would make my life.
Yeah, you guys all want right, a blimp. Okay. I know where you can get a blimp.
Yeah. I know a guy.
I know a guy. He can get you a blimp.
This guy down by the docks, he sells blimps. You want a blimp?
Okay, before this podcast takes a turn for the Hindenburg.
Welcome to Blimpcast, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's get out of this.
Did you know they used it? No, I'm just kidding.
No, go ahead. Tell us your blimp fun fact.
They're nice looking and fat.
All right. I used to own one.
Used to
what?
It wasn't big enough to my size, so money bags had to get rid of it.
Oh. It wasn't as large as the Earth itself. Space blimp.
The captain wouldn't kiss my ring.
Well, let's consider this though. I mean, if you were I know we're all taken here, but let's say if you were to pick up, a girl at a bar. Would you think she'd be more impressed with the fact that you said, "Yeah, I got a nice truck," or do you think you said, "I got a blimp in my yard. You want to go up in it?"
Yeah.
The blimp wins
just
every time.
Yeah. From her house in a blimp. Hey, baby.
Yes.
You like my blimp?
Come out wearing a monocle.
Yeah, let's go down the street. We'll be there in 3 hours.
Yeah. But you're in a,
I know they're awesome.
You're in a blimp. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yo, you seen that movie, The Adventures of Little Nemo? Yeah, it's kind of like that in my house. they call it a dirigible. Screw him. He doesn't know what it is. It's a blimp.
So we are calling this Blimpcast this week, right? Awesome.
Okay. It's good at this blippiness.
Okay.
Yeah. Barry, someone else. Things. Matt, what did you play?
Someone, let's get out of this.
Eject. It's burning. It's all on fire.
Pilot, I've been continuing my playthrough of Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, and that's pretty cool.
Where are you at?
I'm.
Meryl is in that like tunnel, and Sniper Wolf is shooting at me. I'm pretty
you're
early.
You're playing Metal Gear Solid 1.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that game is so good.
Yes, it is. So yes. We will have to. Everyone knows how great that game is, and they will know even more great things about it when me and Chris do our Metal Gear podcast. Because that's going to be fun.
You tell me when you guys are recording this. I want in on this.
Sometime. I knew you would want in on it. But yeah.
Other than Metal Gear, I mean.
This is your first playthrough through Metal Gear Solid 1, right?
What?
Is this your first or no?
No.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
It's like my Chris.
No, it's like my 15th.
I'm sorry. I got lost there for a second. I was still thinking about blimps.
Just slap him, man. Hit him with the glove.
The glove?
No,
please take the ring off.
It's at least my 15th playthrough.
Okay.
Yeah, I adore that game.
Yep. That was the game that got me interested into the stealth genre.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my all-time favorite series ever.
Yeah, Kojima is God. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
What's your guys' favorite part of that game?
First one?
Yeah.
Oh, the Psycho Mantis battle.
Really?
Yeah. That was pretty special.
Especially when he reads your memory cards. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I think for me was probably the end of the final credits between that final conversation between
Mr.
Ocelot. Yeah. I remember it was 2 in the morning. I finished that. My buddy Zach was with me because he was staying for a sleepover. And as soon as he said Mr. President, we were all just screaming, losing our minds.
Yeah, no, it's like, oh my God!
Yeah. It was,
the sequel's going to be awesome! And then it was okay.
The sequel was awesome, sir.
I don't like riding.
I love Metal Gear Solid 2.
Yeah, I've been thinking about firing Metal Gear Solid 2 up again. I don't know if I'm going to put
it. Get that HD collection.
Yeah, Matt, have you ever played? Have you played Peace Walker?
No, I have not.
Has anyone here played Peace Walker?
Because I should, because I was kind of lost a little during Ground Zeroes.
Yeah.
But they give you a little behind the scenes, like, backstory, so I was decent with it.
Peace Walker is really good. It is not nearly as much stealth as the other games. Like, there's still that, but it's way more action, and just, it's a ton of fun.
I have it on my Vita. I should probably fire that up sometime.
Yeah, you should. Here's a cool thing about the Vita. You can change the button maps, because on the PSP, you control your camera or your aiming with the face buttons, like triangle, X, square, and circle. You can change the mapping to where you use the right analog stick instead, so it actually feels like a third-person shooter.
Oh, cool. Cool.
That's exactly how I played it. It was phenomenal.
That's kind of exciting. And I'm excited to play through 3 again. I've never played the like the redone version of 3, where it's set up more like Substance or whatever, where it's set up more like Metal Gear 4, like it's behind him.
Yeah, Subsistence, I think it's called. Or,
yeah.
Yeah, money bags. Get it right.
Hey.
Mouth. Okay, so, quiet. Kenny, you brought up Peace Walker.
Yeah.
Did you want to talk about Peace Walker?
Considering I don't know anything about Peace Walker, probably not.
You should play Peace Walker. It's really good.
I bet it is. It's just, for whatever reason, that I think maybe I have a... I always viewed Peace Walker as a sort of not a real main storyline Metal Gear game, like, you know, you had the 1, 2, and 3 and 4. So I think maybe that's part of me that's been kind of been down on it. Maybe it, and it could be totally unfair assumption.
It is.
But I would like to maybe take some time and sit down with it.
I remember really liking Portable Ops. That was a good one.
Portable Ops was good, but I would consider Peace Walker to be a more in line with the whole story than Portable Ops is. Portable Ops is fine, and it's got some story beats, but it's also kind of nothing. Like, the gameplay is not really all there, and it's just kind of not really fun, honestly. I didn't really enjoy Portable Ops.
It's been forever since I played it, so...
Yeah. Peace Walker, though, really great bosses in that game. Like, you can you can straight up fight, like, tanks and stuff as bosses, but then it's got weird AIs that are interesting bosses, not just, you know, like, oh, just shoot this thing. There's ones that are, like, climbing up walls and stuff, and there's a sort of a hover helicopter one that you have to fight, and it's singing to you the entire time. Like, it's...
Because Metal Gear.
Yeah, because Metal Gear.
Because Kojima.
Because Kojima. Yep. It's really good, and it throws a lot of stuff between Big Boss and Naked Snake at you. Like, it references the third game a lot. In really good ways. So,
Is Kojima the sort of art house version of Michael Bay?
No.
No? Okay.
Let's not compare him to Michael Bay. That's not nice.
Not nearly enough lens flares.
No.
That's J.J. Abrams.
Sorry, mixed them up. Don't shows how much
could happen to anyone.
yeah, whatever. I think
no, but he's definitely an artsy guy.
Yeah,
he takes influences from some really out there movies.
Sure,
which is nice.
He wanted to be a director since
yeah, and I would really like to see what he could do with a movie.
Mm-hmm. You know, it would be like 12
really
hours.
Entertaining.
He couldn't do a movie.
That's fine.
He could do a miniseries.
No, I think he could. I think he could do a movie.
I don't think he could. I really think he would be better suited for a miniseries, something like Game of Thrones or something. You know, 6 to 10 episodes.
You know what?
Something like Game of Thrones, except good, maybe? That'd be good. That'd be fun.
You shut your dirty mouth.
I've not seen Game of Thrones, so...
Don't.
I want to see it. I'll hear it's got nudity and dragons of blood. That's kind of all I need.
There's a really cute horse in it. In the first
Wow. Like, of all the things you could have said, not what I expected you to say.
You got something against cute horses?
No, just totally... you know what? We're Hindenburging it again. Let's,
yeah, we are.
Let's move on to something else. Oh, yeah. Kenny.
Game of Thrones cast, ladies and gentlemen.
Kenny, what have you been playing?
What have I been playing? I've been playing something. A little game called Last of Us.
that game's just, fun. Yeah. Well,
just
no, it's not fun, but it's good.
It's so far been a good experience. That I'm gonna admit, I teared up a little bit that opening scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's which you know, really. As soon as I play through that, I go, okay, I know what I'm in for, I think. And yeah, that's totally a Naughty Dog game. Very well presented, super sharp. I'm still way early in, so I can't tell you about any of the more real extreme story beats that happens. And I'm surprised I've been able to avoid a lot of it. A lot of the spoilers so far. So
avoiding spoilers in this day and age is really difficult.
You know, I feel like with this game, though, people have been doing their best to not spoil it. Like, there's buttheads out there everywhere, but most people are like, yeah, we'll just let you get through this. We're not going to talk about this for a while.
Yeah.
Same thing with avoiding spoilers. Like, I was surprised how I was able to avoid BioShock Infinite spoilers for about 8 months before I beat it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of gave myself a high five right after I beat it. I was like, no one spoiled it. Yay me.
Hooray.
So that was a fun time. Yeah. I did it.
Even if they spoiled the end of BioShock Infinite, I don't think you would have understood.
No, I wouldn't have gotten
it. You kind of have to play that game to understand what could have been spoiled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that ending is a mind bend and a half. Then you go okay. But then, it's... I almost feel kind of dumb because there's people who are out there who are like, this is so amazing, and then there's little stuff that I didn't quite understand what the game was trying to say at first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read on Wikipedia and I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, alright, this starts to make a little more sense, and then it goes, yeah, this game is pretty great for being able to go that deep, I suppose.
Yeah. So back to Last of Us, though, that is...
Yeah.
In my opinion, that's the best looking game from last generation.
Mm-hmm. My stepson was watching me play it for a little bit, and I made the point of saying, man, these cinematics are running on hardware that, by and large, is 7 years old. And it's always at the end of the life cycle where you get to see kind of the best and the brightest of what that technology can do. But I'm stunned as to how great that game and how vibrant that game feels. It looks terrific, and everything just comes as so far come together very well.
What part are you at right now?
Oh, I just ran into my first clicker. I mean, I just got Ellie. Okay. So dynamics between Joel and Ellie has really kicked in yet. But
I can't wait for you to meet Bill. I really love that guy.
Okay. All right. I'll let you know how.
Yeah, he's really awesome.
That point in the game is also where the game really opens up. For a little bit mm-hmm. longer, you're going to have maybe some difficulty, and you may think, why do people like this game so much? Because it's still trying to teach you how to play, especially in that first clicker part. Good luck, bro.
Yeah.
But once you get where I found the game opened up was immediately after you get the bow and arrow. The whole design of the game just sort of changes. Not because of the bow and arrow, but simply at that point is when it happens.
Right.
They give you way more
options. Do you get the sense? Yeah. So is that just because they make the game to fit the bow? Or the bow fit the game?
It has nothing to do with the bow itself. It's just that's when it happens. When you grab it, that's when the game starts to open up. Because... they kind of let you loose at that point, and they say, okay, you can figure it out from here. You've now got the ability to kind of go about this in the ways that you would like you would like to.
That's when the hand-holding stops, basically.
Right.
And even up to that point, there's not much hand-holding, and they do it really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Right after that, I mean, they start opening up to where there'll be four or five buildings around you, and you can kind of go in and around them in any way that you want and kind of explore them. But there's enemies everywhere.
Okay.
So it's not just a rudimentary puzzle of you have to do it in this order. It's here's some enemies, here's an area, deal with it.
Right. Okay. That's good to hear because, I mean, I, just playing through it, I did get the sense of I know they had hyped up that you can approach this game any way you want, but you can, it's like, hey, here's two different ways to go through one tunnel kind of thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But
it is like that.
But that's that. Sure. And that's sort of been my impression of it, but so far, but if that's how if it opens up like that, then I'm pretty excited to see what goes on.
Yeah. You'll enjoy it. It's a good time. It's well, it's a good game, but it's not a good
game. Yeah, it's a bad time.
It's
yeah,
sort of like what The Walking Dead was, season one there.
Yeah.
Sort of like you didn't enjoy going through the stuff, but it was...
Yeah, there's no real joy.
Yeah.
It was fantastic that they had accomplished this in a video game.
Sure. Okay. Well, that's good. So, yeah. I mean, it's basically been that and more Football Manager. Of course, that's it.
Let's hear about this Football Manager.
Yeah, tell us about Football Manager. What are you doing, Football Manager?
You know, because I honestly have no idea what you do in Football Manager.
All right. So,
I'm assuming it's just like a giant list of spreadsheets and
Excel. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's okay. So basically, you create your quote unquote manager character. Yeah, you pick a team that you want to match. And this is soccer. This is a soccer game, not a NFL game. For those of you who don't know what it is, and
oh,
you basically
so it's feetball, not football.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
And basically, you get to sort of set a profile. You get to sort of set a little bit of a background for yourself, and from there, you get to pick whatever team you want, and they have teams from all over the world that you can play. You can add different leagues as playable or not playable, and just depends on your hardware and stuff like that. You basically pick a team and you get your backroom staff that you can interact with. You've got your players that you can individually talk to or hold team meetings, and basically you try to set up your tactics and buy and sell players as needed. Keep track of your finances about more or less running a soccer club.
So it's like a full-blown simulator.
It's very detailed. Okay. There's all kinds of you might have two players that are almost exactly the same, but you might have one that's a little more creative with his ball passing and stuff. That might be the difference between winning a trophy or getting relegated. That's
do you see any of the games play out, or is it all just
oh yeah you actually watch the game from the touchline, or you can there's different camera views and stuff, so you can get an idea on how the game is playing out, and you can take a look and say, okay, my defense isn't the way I have it set up, is not working, I gotta try something different because their left winger keeps busting past my right back and all this. And it's for any of those who like the kind of tactical aspect of soccer, it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy learning about that kind of stuff, and also just it's so bloody addicting. I mean, that's the thing about it. I mean, I think the last time I talked to you guys, or I did some math, but basically I've got Football Manager 2010 to 2011. I've only got stats from 2012. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who don't know, I played Football Manager 2012 for 420 hours.
Oh.
349 hours for 2013. And the current version I have, which is 2014, has currently 108 hours. And I got this game back in December.
You'll get there.
I
believe in you.
You know, kind of reminds me of like, so Kenny was saying, like you can actually be on, like you're on the sidelines and actually watching your thing. That's like perfect what we were talking about earlier with like Oculus Rift.
Yeah.
Oh, I can be at the game. Oh, look,
how yeah, that would be awesome.
Sure, and there's a few different kind of football games or soccer management games out there. But actually, if you want to know how popular this game is, just go look up Football Manager Addictions, and you're going to read some of the craziest stories. Okay. This is like the World of Warcraft. Like, people lose their marriages and their jobs over this thing.
I'd love to read some Football Manager fan fiction. That would be nice.
I don't know if there would be any kind of that.
I'm sure there is.
There probably is. but some of the stories are pretty neat. And then, like, not only with the people who are really into it, who just get sucked into it, but also the way that people just go about playing this game. I read this one story where these group of college guys would they would all play, because there is multiplayer, you can play against other people. And what they would do is, on the very last day of the quote-unquote season, they would actually play their game, they would wear suits, they would film each other doing these interviews as of saying, like, yeah, this, what do you fantastic. Think you're last? How do you feel about winning the Premier League title and stuff? And, you know, it's utterly insane.
Nerds!
This personifies nerd, absolutely.
Oh, and wow.
It's kind of neat in that respect. The community is really good, and I'm
kind of in love with it.
You really get a sense of, I pay attention to soccer anyway, but it is interesting to learn about sort of how soccer transfers are conducted. And you know people might say, like, oh well, you know, take for example this real life transfer that took place where a player from Wales. His name is Gareth Bale. He signed for Real Madrid for 100 million pounds. No, I'm sorry, 100 million euros. Now, most people might look at that and think, like, oh, so he gets paid 100 million to play or whatever? And it's like, no, that's just the fee that Real Madrid paid in order to acquire him. Then after that, it becomes this sort of, okay, now what do you want to get paid a week? 340,000 euros a week. Yeah, sure, okay.
It's like a rights thing. Like, you're buying the rights to this player.
Exactly. And and it's pretty.
That is crazy.
It's pretty sick. And then, this game sort of helps you learn a little bit about that stuff. But overall, it's just nothing's more satisfying than looking at an opponent that you're about to play, setting up your players just right and seeing it all kind of come together and you just demolishing them you feel pretty smart about it.
Sounds kind of like a RTS to me. A real-time strategy game.
there's certainly some aspects of an RTS that are played in there for sure.
That's funny.
Or it's just a lot of fun for me.
Grown men also cry, and you will see that happen at this game.
Oh, the people do. I heard this one where this guy had his wife scared because he's crying, and his wife runs like, what's wrong? And he goes, oh, I got fired. And she's thinking he got fired from his real job. And he goes, no, I didn't get fired from my real job. I got fired from my management post in my Football Manager game.
And she slammed the door and walked away.
You know what? I wouldn't blame her one bit if she did. I'd be like, okay, you're not a man anymore.
You stop.
All right. So those are pretty much the games I've been playing here. So.
What else have you been playing, Matt? Anything else besides your Metal Gear? And your Disco Zoo?
No. Oh, wait, no. I played Resident Evil last week.
You did?
Again. For like the 25th time.
Which one?
The first one.
Oh.
Yeah, I can beat that in like 2.5 hours, 3 hours.
Nice. Yeah, you gotta get that chain gun, that rocket launcher.
No, I don't play through it well. I just rush through it and murder everything. Barry rarely survives. Yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah, I never beat that as Chris Redfield, only as Jill.
I beat it as him once, but it's so much more fun to play as Jill because you get much better dialogue, like the master of unlocking and your Jill sandwich, stuff like that. It's amazing. I love it. Then Resident Evil's the bomb diggity.
That game terrified me back in the day.
Oh yeah, me too.
I would seriously be like, I enjoyed that game so much. And like, I remember I used to get home from school and I'd, you know, hang out for a little bit, and I put that game on, and I always put it on about like 5 o'clock, right, so the sun was still out, and I would get so into it that like before you know it, it's like completely dark in my house. I'm the only one there. And so it's like I'm so into it that I hear something and I realize like it's completely black in my house except for this game. Like, oh no, there's something out there. Yeah, it used to creep
me. Yeah, that game was scary as hell. I love it though.
Yeah, so good.
It's not really, it's not scary at all now, but
it's still pretty good. At that time it was it's terrifying.
But I tell you, the remake for GameCube still scares the heck out of me. That's a creepy, creepy game. I love it.
There's another one where like there's more dogs basically breaking through windows.
There's more dogs. Extra zombies dogs. Can come back to life after you kill them.
Extra dogs. Oh, really?
Yeah, and you have to like burn the corpses or else they'll come back later as these super powerful zombies.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Redheads
it's
or something?
Wild.
They call them like
Crimson Heads.
Crimson Heads, yeah.
Yeah, they're crazy strong. And when they come back to life, it's not like they just like shamble towards you. They bolt at you.
Oh,
and then
really?
They explode.
What?
Yeah, I know, it's crazy.
Video games. Like,
we're just gonna be...
No, apparently, like, Wesker goes back through the mansion and, like, plants bombs on all these corpses.
No, he doesn't.
I think he does. I think that's where the Crimson Heads come from.
He's just
following that's why they
you,
explode.
Like, hiding around corners, like, oh, yeah. God, oh, they almost saw
they
me.
Set the one on fire.
I'm gonna get him.
The deadliest game of hide and seek.
Yeah, the most dangerous game.
So,
those games are fun.
Speaking of scary games, Barry, I just saw that you put up a post apparently about Amy Henning going to Visceral.
Yeah, that's what I was.
What?
Yeah, can we talk about that for just a minute? How
that
awesome
is
that
awesome.
Is.
Yeah, Steve.
Yay!
Steve Papoutsis posted that on EA, and Amy Henning tweeted it out. That yeah, they picked her up for Visceral, and she's gonna be working on the Star Wars game.
Oh, that's fantastic!
That is amazing.
Yep.
I kind of want her to work on Dead Space, though.
Hooray for her! Yeah, I would love to see her do a Dead Space.
You're going to forgive my ignorance here, but what was her position with Naughty Dog before? Because I know she had left Naughty Dog, and it was kind of weird.
Writer.
Yeah, she was like the lead writer on
Uncharted.
Uncharted 2.
Right.
I think the whole Uncharted series she was a big part of.
So now we get to have a Star Wars game with a good story again. Which hasn't happened since like Knights of the Old Republic.
Well, I mean, you know, Han Solo Nathan Drake is basically
Uncharted.
Han Solo. So it's
she did Uncharted, Jack and Daxter. She did the Legacy of Kain series.
Yeah.
Oh, Legacy of Kain, jeez.
Yeah, no. She's quite good. She was like their game like lead director over at Naughty Dog.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So, well, those games were really well written. So I'll be interested to see how she does.
Yeah. While you guys were talking, I went on Facebook and someone posted that, and I was like, I'll be right back.
Yeah.
You guys kept talking. I was like, I'm gonna go write this real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's pretty awesome. And I'm so happy she's with Visceral now. Holy jeez.
Yeah.
I really would love to see a Dead Space by her though. Like a Dead Space with a good.
How about
story.
Something new?
No, I want more.
How about just?
I want a good Dead Space because they gave me a really crap one.
Dude, you can't like once stories go that long and they're that like I don't know what the hell's going on. You can't fix them.
Yes, you can. Reboot.
Oh, jeez. Reboot. No, stop. New something. New.
Reboot.
No, I really want a next gen Dead Space.
Yeah. Turns out Dead Space 2 and 3 were both actually just a hallucination in Isaac's mind.
Stop it. Stop it.
See,
you're already starting off with something goofy right there.
Oh, come on. That would be. I would play along. I'm like, sure, this was all just a hallucination. Give me another good Dead Space.
Anyway, so I've been playing a whole bunch of Titanfall, of course.
Right. Did you see the Optimus Prime joke?
Yeah. Because
I would buy the crap out of that.
No, I mean, at first I was like, oh, that'd be kind of neat. But then at the same time, I was like, but everybody would be Optimus Prime running.
Yeah.
Of course.
The only thing I thought was funny was like at the end, he's like, roll out. And he's like the truck.
It's so good.
He's running around with an axe. For a split second, because the IGN posted that like at midnight.
Yeah.
So like I was playing Titanfall at the time. And then so I checked my phone and I'm like, what? No way. And then I started watching it and I was like, well, this just looks terrible. I was like, this has got to be April Fool's.
Yeah, never believe anything you read on.
Well, it was midnight. Like, it was, you know, it was.
Oh,
still,
exactly.
So I didn't realize, like, it, you know, the time had just passed. And then, their what was it? The fine print at the very end of the trailer was something goofy about Linkin Park.
There was Linkin Park, and then there was we'd like to remind you that Megatron is the one true leader of Cybertron. All hail Megatron.
Yeah, I saw stuff like that. I was like, oh, okay.
It was awesome.
Because the picture I saw was like, I was like, well, that I could totally see that actually being real. But then when you watch the video and he moving all goofy and the voice like wasn't, it was just, I was like, no, this can't be real.
But, oh, but it is.
Yeah.
In our dreams.
You been playing any Titanfall, Matt?
I tried playing the other day, but the server was down, so I was like, oh, I'm going to watch a movie instead. And that's what I did.
I've been playing so much. That's like my thing to do for like the last, since the game's come out. Like, during the week, I come home from work, and I pop that in. I play it for like two and a half hours, and then go to bed.
Yeah.
That game is so good. One of the best things it does is teaching you how to play. Because like when you first get in it, I mean, I could imagine now it's probably really brutal compared to when you first started before, like in the beta or when it first came out. Because now people know how to play, and you're jumping. Like, yeah. You can go back through the campaign. Like, I was going through the campaign last night again. Like, you have to play against a whole bunch of new people. But once you learn, like, the best thing to do in that game when you first start is, like, watch the kill cam. Every time you die, watch the kill cam. Because you'll start to learn, like, oh, that's how that person got me. You start to learn all these new things that people can do. Like, I never used the satchel charges, and then in one match someone just, this same person killed me probably about 10 times with the satchel charges.
What's a satchel charge?
It's like instead of a grenade or like a mine you put down, you throw down a satchel
it's
charge.
Like a, it's a fanny pack filled with an explosive.
Well, and you pull the trigger for when it goes off.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's a fanny pack.
But the thing is with the satchel charge, it puts off way more, it has like a way bigger area of effect and puts off way more damage than a grenade. But then you also have to pull the trigger. But this person was using it just like a grenade. He'd throw it into a room and pull the trigger right away, and it was killing me every time. And then like it's the best thing to do is like when you get on someone's Titan and they want to get out because they know you're being rodeoed, you just jump off, throw down satchel charge, and pop, you got them. The area of effect on that thing is so huge. But I just, man, playing that game, it's just, it teaches you how to play. Like, as you go through, because once you go, like, to a new generation, you have to start over completely. Like, all your unlocks are gone. So you have to start with your basic loadouts. Mm-hmm. And then at first you're kind of like, oh, man, this is going to be rough. But then you don't realize, like, how good you got. Because then you start playing with these original loadouts, and you're still pretty decent. Then as you start to unlock other things, you start getting all the weapons you had before back. You're like, man, this game is just, those people that are in the higher generations, like, they can play so well because the game just keeps teaching you little by little how to play that game and how to take out other Titans. And one of the best things to do is, like, one of the best things about the game is it's actual, like, the audio cues is what I was picking up on, is what's so good about it is, like, when you're running around, you know what weapon's being fired and what direction it is, and then when you get close, you can tell if, like, the person's above or below you. From when the audio comes in, you're like, oh, like, you hear, like, thump, 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 you're like, oh, that's a mag launcher. And then, like, you'll see, like, oh, there's a friendly Titan out that window, so there must be an enemy pilot probably above me. And you go up there, and there they are, and just snap the neck. You know, that's, like, that's one of the best things to do in that game, too, is, like, and it's also one of the most demoralizing.
Is when when you see the kill cam, when someone just comes up behind you.
No, it's not even the kill cam. It's when you're sitting there shooting at somebody, you're looking down the barrel, and all of a sudden, like, your view gets spun around real quick, and all you do is you see someone's face. They're like, oh, dang it. Then you have to watch the kill cam, them coming up and just breaking your neck, looking you in the face, then dropping your body. You're like, oh, man. It's so good to do that to somebody, though. It's so much fun.
So is this going to be, like, the game of the year contender for you, Barry?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've put, like, I think, like, 65, 70 hours into it.
Wow. That's pretty good. So, given that these were done by the same guys who had more or less kickstarted Call of Duty, because I haven't played the game, I just don't know exactly how it plays. I mean, I've seen it, but until you actually do play it for yourself, you really can't. You can't really compare the two, but is this the Call of Duty killer ironically made by the same guys who make Call of Duty?
I would say maybe the franchise has potential, not Titanfall 1.
Yeah, because sure. Titan, once it gets onto more consoles in the future with the sequels, then maybe.
Yeah.
Like sure. Titanfall 2, if it's, you know, PS4, Xbox One.
It will be.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just seems that this...
But it is fantastic.
It's so incredibly fun. Like I'm just not even getting better at like the mobility in that game. Like the other day I pulled off like the best line from getting from one side of the map to the other, and it was during evacuation.
Oh,
it was on
I still love that.
Yeah, there's it was
it doesn't get old.
It was on this map called Rise, and basically you're in a giant pit. Like there's a bunch of buildings in a giant like pit of sand. And right. Everything's kind of confined in one area. And then I had to evacuate, and I was on the completely opposite side of the map. But I was right. able to like jump from building to there's two buildings that are right next to each other, and I just went from one side to the other, back and forth, running along the wall till I got to the evacuation point. And I did it in like seriously, like going on the ground, I probably wouldn't have made it to the evacuation, but doing it the way I did, I got there in like 3 seconds. Awesome. I went so fast, and I dropped down. There was the drop ship right there. I mean, doing stuff like that, when you pull off those awesome lines, and or even like when you're trying to, like you'll see an enemy pilot, and you're like, oh, I'm going to go get that dude. And then you see them jumping and running, like you're trying to do it too, trying to follow them.
Right.
So funny. And then like, you know, you'll miss a mark, or they will, and you're like, yep, gotcha. You kill them.
Hey, with Titanfall, so can we talk about how weird it is that the Xbox 360 version comes out in a couple days and no one's seen anything from it?
Like, they just don't, they don't want you to know it's there.
Yeah.
I know, but there hasn't even been like video or screenshots or anything.
Yeah, they want to sell more Xbox Ones.
Yeah, it's one wonders if that how well. I mean, I would think that version holds up all right. I mean, it's not gonna be complete garbage.
Never know.
I hope not.
The studio that's porting it, like that's what they do. It's porting games.
Right. Yeah, but
it'll be interesting.
I'm sure it'll be perfectly serviceable.
Yeah. That game, man, it's just. There's so many times where you're just like, there's pilots coming all around you, and you call your Titan, you just wait for that 1 second, and then you jump out the window right into your pilot or in your Titan's hatch, and you get in, you're like, whew, man, they almost got me on that one.
That was close.
Or those times where, like, someone drops a Titan, you're in your Titan guarding, like, a hard point, and they think they're going to get you, and you just utterly destroy them. Like, you just rip through their Titan, then you execute them. You're like, yep, that was easy. It's just like, man, there's so many rewarding moments in that game.
It's glorious.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, okay. Well, I'll, I mean, that'll probably be the first game I pick up eventually when I do get an Xbox One.
Yeah. Well, it's on a PC, right?
Yeah, I don't have a PC to
run. Oh, okay.
At least not regularly. I mean, my oldest stepson, I mean, he built a computer that would probably run it just fine, but I gotta,
Gotta get him out of the house and steal his
phone. What I was gonna say is, no, you just need to find a reason to like, oh, you stayed out 10 minutes too late. You're taking your computer away.
Yeah. You've lost your computer for 4 hours.
Yeah, that's right.
You can get it back once I've what is it? What's the prestiging again in that game?
Generation.
And once I've got generation.
Yeah.
So, Barry, I just found out about something that I think you'll find interesting. DLC for Don't Starve.
What?
Really?
Uh-huh. Called Don't Starve Reign of Giants.
What?
Yeah.
Where is this?
I think it might be at PAX next week. I might be able to test that out.
Yes.
I got an email that said Don't Starve, and it was talking about DLC.
Yeah, it's on Steam right now, $4.
Yeah, we always go see Cly, so you have to go see Cly, Matt.
Sure. Who?
Cly, the studio that made Don't Starve.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And Shank. Everybody forgets about Shank, but Shank was really good.
I mean, it's not Don't Starve.
Yeah. I liked Shank.
But anyway, I've got a copy of Shank. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. But man, I fell in love with Don't Starve. When I first started playing, I was like, whoa, this game is amazing.
So you're going to love this, Barry, because there are literal giants in the game. That will just kill you, like giant werewolves, and it looks like there's a giant badger of some sort.
I went to Cly's website, they don't have it there.
It's right here on Steam. I'm looking at it right now.
I just figured that's where they would have it.
But,
I gotta get back into that game, I gotta try again.
Oh, here it is, Reign of Giants. Yeah.
In the trailer, there's like a big lizard foot that comes down, and that's all you can see.
Oh my gosh, I see it, that's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a fantastic game.
Well, I know what we'll be talking about next week on this game.
So, the last game I played this week was I played a crap ton of Final Fantasy X, the HD remix.
How you liking it?
I'm really liking it, man.
Cool.
Like, I have the same problems with it that I do with Kingdom Hearts, in that we've been spoiled nowadays by good voice acting, by, like, things like The Walking Dead and The Last of Us.
Yeah, I was about to say Last of Us.
BioShock Infinite. You know, all these really great games where they have the people in the same room together talking to one another. And it's just so evident now, playing through this again, that they just recorded one character's dialogue one day, another person's dialogue.
Yeah.
And it's God, it's so awful. Nothing even makes the words they're saying make sense, but the inflections in their voices are totally all over the place.
Well, it's I don't know. I think even I remember playing Final Fantasy X back then, and I go, okay, this is another JRPG with kind of dumb dialogue, and the way that they talk is completely unnatural.
Yeah.
And far removed from any conversation that I have ever had with anyone in real life. So do they still got that stupid laughing?
Yes, the laughing scene is there.
One of the dumbest things ever seen.
Actually, that was not
ever heard.
That was not anywhere. A bad scene. Like, the it was kind of stupid, but the
no, it was dumb. It was
it had a good
dumb. It was dumb.
Right. Video games are dumb.
That being said, it's only that kind of game that thing could probably pull it off as well as it did. I don't think it was good, but that's right. I mean, I would love for if you know, let's say you had another, like, going back to Call of Duty, where they're like, listen, I know that things are tough, but you know, when I get down, stop, ha ha ha, and you got all these Navy SEALs just laughing all awkwardly. I don't think it would work very well in that context. No.
But I do like it when they do the HD remakes and they redo the voices. And they make them a little better.
In what
did they redo any of these ones?
I don't think so. It's still really bad.
They did a new voice cast for Silent Hill 2 when they did the HD version.
Mm.
And it was a lot better.
Right. Okay.
A lot. But that's Troy Baker for you, because that's what he does.
Right. I never played Silent Hill 2, and I hear that's probably the... Is that the best one, or is it number 3?
I love the first one, but the second one's really good as well.
Right.
That first one.
All that fog.
Mm-hmm.
Which, let's face it, and let's be perfectly honest, was just a way to make the game run smoother, and therefore they wouldn't have to actually, generate as much all at once.
But
and make it an 8-disc game.
Really, really interesting way to do it, though.
Yeah,
yes.
Sure.
Went back in.
Because it went in with the story, which was nice.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if they can make that work, or give it some justification, that's always pretty impressive. Besides obviously the graphical remakes and stuff like that, and I'd like to talk about X2, but I hate X2, so
I haven't played X2 yet.
You're a J-pop band, right?
That's
sounds like the best.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Sounds like
the
best.
I don't know about
world.
That.
Thanks, guys. I'm gonna go play X2 now.
So, I remember when that came out, I was like, that looks kind of stupid. I won't be getting this.
Yeah, I remember playing it. I'm like, this is super dumb. But besides the graphics and stuff, did they do anything with the sphere system? Did they make it? Did they add any kind of gameplay meaningful changes?
The only thing they've done with the sphere system is that when you start the game, you can start off with just kind of a normal mode, or you can start off with what I think they call the master sphere system, which allows you to just kind of have everyone start off in the same place. So instead of Lulu, for example, being your mage character, you can turn her into a warrior, like, right off the start. and then, you know, turn Kimari into a thief. And so you can get, like, you know, eventually playing through the game, all the characters can be whatever you want them to be, and they turn into, like, these superpowered monsters. But, you know, you can start off the game kind of like that and do whatever you want. Every character is kind of more like a blank slate than a predetermined, like, class.
I don't know how to feel about that. It almost sounds great, but then I'm like, well, wouldn't it be kind of weird if I had, you know, Lulu?
Yeah, Lulu.
Lulu, like, wielding this big axe or something.
Well, they still have the same weapons. Some... It's just, like, so it doesn't make much narrative sense when it's like, you know, Auron has, he's your mage, for example, and, you know, you turn him into the mage, and so he can't do any good with his big giant sword, and then Lulu has her little Cactar go up there and attack for 9999 damage.
Cactar.
But she get her little,
love Cactus Man.
Well, the you know, her weapon is like that little doll, and right now it's a Cactar on mine.
Yay!
Instead of a Moogle.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I love that game. I really, really am enjoying, like, everything about it, except for, like, the voice acting. And in the cutscenes, Titus, like, flails around. Like, I think he might have a mental, like, some sort of problem with him. I think there's a problem with his brain, because, man, is he, like, flailing his arms around and kicking in such a weird fashion. I'm not sure that he's all there, or maybe he's having a stroke or something, but no one's acknowledging it.
We don't speak of it.
it's really creepy.
It's like, what's wrong with him? Like, we don't really talk about
We don't. He's from Xanarkand. He got too close to Sin.
He has health problems.
Yes. I mean, most Japanese entertainment is a lot of exaggerated arm flailing and.
Yeah, but everybody else is so, like, they're so toned down. Everyone else is kind of, occasionally Waka will get a little excited, you know?
Yep, sure.
And he'll jump or something, but most of the time they're all very stoic and just kind of really reserved.
Oh, okay, sure. But I guess, so it sticks out more.
Yeah, Titus is over there just like, you know, popping some sick dance moves, I think. And nobody says anything.
You think?
Yeah, I think. I'm not quite sure. Who knows? That game is really good, though. I mean, just like the battle system is just as good as it was before. It's basically the same. And, you know, the story is all right. And graphically, I mean, it looks like you remember it looked. But then I went back and watched some videos of what it really used to look like. It looks like garbage now.
Yeah.
But I kind of like the art style from back then of... It's... How do I say it?
A lot of color.
Yeah, it was... When they were trying to be kind of realistic looking with PS2, but they couldn't do it. So there's like a very, there's a distinct time and place where a lot of games kind of looked like that. And I really like that look. Maybe that's just nostalgia for me.
I mean, I had watched some Final Fantasy X videos not too long ago because as soon as I heard that the remake was coming out, I thought, hey, does this game look as good as I remember it? I still think graphically that game holds up held up very well.
Yeah. And it's because of its art style. It's not quite super realistic. It's got some sort of artistic flair to it, but just enough to make it look like this is kind of what humans look like. Sure.
Yeah. And it's,
why not?
Yeah. I should put this. It's something that I'm looking forward to playing. And it's just the music's really good in it.
Yeah.
I really like the soundtrack in that game.
Really good soundtrack.
And it's nice to see Titus not some emo. You know, the whole I'm all depressed all the time kind of guy.
Oh god, I'm not good enough.
I saw on Twitter, though, one of the guys from Polygon basically kind of revealed that, like, this is actually the first game in the series in, I think, like, 6 that they didn't actually have a main character who had some sort of amnesia problem.
Yeah, but they kind of do. He kind of does because he's been warped to another world. and everyone says that he's got, like, you've been too close to Sin. Sin's toxin has warped your mind. So
yeah,
they get it. They get away with not having that just based on the fact that he's from another place.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's. I guess that makes sense. I just. I kind of. You know, as soon as I read that, I go, oh
yeah.
Oh right. Yeah, that's so. That's totally true. I mean, yeah. The point you just made is correct, but it is kind of realize, I guess how different that game was at that time.
Definitely. It was far and above. One of the best Final Fantasies, or at least one of the more unique ones at the time.
I was thinking
about that whole amnesia thing not too long ago, and thinking to myself that it's kind of necessary, honestly, to have the main character not understand kind of what's going on. At least in that time it was, because, you know, you as a player don't know this world. So you're going in, and if you're playing as a character that already understands the world, it kind of breaks the narrative, because you don't know what's going on, but they suddenly know exactly what's going on. There's no mystery to them, so it kind of breaks the immersion. You're not finding out anything. It's kind of like, oh well, I guess I was supposed to know that.
Yeah, I suppose, but that's all about how you know that's on the storytelling staff to be able to convey that, to be able to deliver what it is about that world that should be familiar to the character that you can still understand. I mean, you know, I admit I don't know much about, you know, the world that Metal Gear 1 was in before I played Metal Gear, but they still presented in a way that was like, oh, okay, they explained what's going on just fine, and Snake was totally, oh, okay, yeah, I get what's going on, and I got what was going on.
Well, Snake sort of got what was going on, but it's still a lot of things were crazy to him. Like psychomantis and stuff. It's like, what? You've got psychic powers or something?
Yeah, I don't know. He seemed pretty calm and collected about the whole thing. Like, yeah, he's floating.
Yeah.
All right, sure. All right.
Dealing with it, but it was still unexpected. It still wasn't anything. Let's take, for example, The Last of Us. And, you know, you don't really need to be explained that world. You can play as a character who has their own voice, because it's basically our world and we all understand the concept of zombies.
Infected.
Sure.
Yeah. Zombies infected. You know that.
Ah.
Don't even money bags. I think the amnesia thing is almost necessary for games like Final Fantasy, so that you have some sort of discovery along with the character.
Sure. And I mean, it certainly helps to understand where they're, how should I put this? It does make it a little more enjoyable that you are kind of discovering this stuff for the first time, just like he is, or she is.
Okay, no more.
I think we run the
last thing about on this the boat. HD. This is real quick. I'm playing it on Vita. I really wish they would have done something with the touchscreen, because it's menus.
Really?
Come on, it's so obvious. Oh jeez.
Oh, someone call the cops. Matt's being attacked.
Is very upset about the touchscreens.
No, I'm upset about the mailman coming to the door.
Oh jeez.
Okay.
Shut up.
Anyway, they didn't do anything. There's like two new options you can do with the touchscreens, but I would have thought they would have added it into like battles or the sphere system or something to be able to navigate that. It just makes sense.
Right.
A menu, give me a touchscreen, you know, like option. But no, nothing.
Well, the Vita version is an afterthought, I think. They basically were like, yeah, it's on PS3 and Vita.
Yeah, but Vita's my main thought. That's where I want to play RPGs.
That's where I want to play everything.
That's where I want to play everything. I'm sick of sitting in front of a TV.
Okay. You're the only person I've ever heard would utter such nonsense.
It's been uttered before. On this very show.
Yeah. I'm really excited about PS4 for remote play, so I don't have to sit in front of my TV no more.
Oh.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, I mean, hey, it's different strokes for different folks.
Okay.
Stay away from the bike salesman. Keep going.
No, I'm done. That's all. I just wanted to say that they should have done something with the touchscreen. Thank you. That'd have been nice. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing. That's it.
All right, Chris, take us away.
We're taking us away? Okay. So if you like the show, be a bro and give us a 5-star review on iTunes. That would be very helpful.
Oh, I really hoped you were going to rhyme everything together.
Damn it.
So close.
If you like the show, be a bro. Give us 5 stows on
no
iTunes.
Give us 5 stars on the iTunes though.
iTunes. You can also visit levelsave.com where we got news, reviews, previews. We got all the normal stuff and then lots of features.
Why do you always like, anytime I ask you to take us away, you have like a mini seizure in the middle of you talking about it.
The level save and the reviews and podcasts.
Follow level save
follow
on Twitter.
Follow Twitter. Level Stop save. It. At level.
Chris.
Barry is at internet. I am weapon. Kenny, you're just at Kenny Ryu.
Yeah.
But it's R-I-O-U-X for Ryu. And Matt is correct. At the real Matt C or at Mr. Moneybags as well.
No, yep.
I'm telling
that's
you,
not me.
That's your handle. I told you should have made your handle Moneybags.
No.
Moneybags Curion or
yeah, it's really great.
Kiss the Ring. There's your handle.
You can find me at Kiss the Ring.
Yeah.
And you can find me at Snickle Socks. I believe that's everything, Barry.
Like Level Save on Facebook, get in our forums, and tell your friends about the podcast.
That'd be great.
Yeah, tell all your friends. And they'll tell someone, and they'll tell someone, and they'll tell someone, and so on and so forth.
Like, just send them the link.
If you like the podcast, seriously, let us know. If there's something you don't like about it, we can change stuff up. You know? We're just having some fun here. But if you like it, like it. If you don't like it, then we'll see if we can change.
Okay, we're gone. All right. Peace out.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Just trying to help.
Bye. goodbye.
Oh, welcome.
Oh, welcome.
Oh, welcome.
Come on, Kenny.
Hello.
No. Oh, welcome.
I gotta be different, Matt. What do you gotta be
no,
different?
No, it's our goodbye.
Oh, welcome. What a thrill. With darkness and silence through the night. What a thrill. I'm searching and I'll melt into you. What a fear in my heart. But you're so supreme. A tree frog, it's ordeal, the trial to survive.